2 Timothy 3. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. And avoid such men as these, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith. Excuse me. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 16. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. As the Apostle Paul continues his encouragement to Timothy, he makes a very remarkable statement that needs to become part of the fabric and makeup of every Christian. After listing all the things that will be evident in the works of this world, in its sin and depravity, Paul encourages us to continue in the spiritual truth that we have learned. We are to hold on to the biblical teachings and the instructions given to us through the Holy Spirit via our spiritual teachers and our godly parents who have raised us up in the Lord. We need to persevere in our faith in Christ Jesus and not be put off by all the attacks and the pressures that will be exerted upon us to cave in, to give up, and to capitulate in our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ. Against the ceaseless and relentless pounding of this world's demands and pressures and forces, we are encouraged to persevere unto the very end in the truth and the love and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. We are given the reality of what it means to so abide in Him, to be so at one with Christ, that we cannot even function apart from Him in this world. Our Lord commands us with this admonition to recognize what is now true of us in John 15, 4 through 10. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the exact reason that we must abide in Jesus Christ, that we can persevere under the most intense of earthly attacks, because we are one with Christ. We must continually remind ourselves of the fact that we are now his body, united to him in every aspect of our lives. We are so vitally a part of him, and he of us, that to deny him, to turn from him, to give in to the onslaughts and to lose our courage and our conviction after him would mean an utter denial of ourselves. Apart from the fullness of the knowledge of Christ in this living relationship as his body, we are stunted in growth. Apart from him, we lack the ability to maintain our hearts in that abiding presence and desire after the greater depths of himself. Please be aware that this desire costs, and it costs most dearly. This is not something that can be received with half-heartedness. To know Christ to the depths of him living forth his life in us in complete oneness, this abiding in him requires utmost sacrifice and the complete putting to death of sin and self. This is not an easy road. Neither is it painless nor smooth. There are deep chasms to traverse and high peaks to survive. There are raging rivers and torrential storms that must be suffered and endured. But as we continue on the path, weary and battered and scared as we may be, we will learn that our perseverance unto him leads to endless peace and comfort and joy in him. There are many Christians, very well-meaning and sincere Christians, who have never been taught the depth of the Scripture. They have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they have not as yet been brought into the living relationship of oneness with Christ that is ours in him. They know him to a point, but no further. Sometimes it is denominational emphasis with an aspect on one of the characters of God, his great love, Yet it builds up a defensive bulwark around itself, refusing to go any farther. Sometimes it is a lack of proper teaching and misguided ministry that handcuffs those believers. Sometimes it may simply be the desire to know Him only to a certain depth and no deeper. It is a fearful unwillingness to have God reveal Himself in all His fullness because of what it will cost us. That is why we need to keep each other in prayer, that there is an earnest desire that wells up in each of us to go on in Jesus Christ, individually and as a fellowship. That is why it is so vital that we do not become complacent, but rather encourage each other to forge ceaselessly and determinedly into all truth in Jesus Christ. This is the heart of those who want to hear, as we read in Acts 13:42-43. And as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who were speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. These people wanted to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They wanted to hear the truth proclaimed, and they urged Paul and Barnabas to continue in this ministry. They were hungry for that which God gave through the teaching of Paul and Barnabas, and they wouldn't settle for anything less than hearing the word made known. On a most personal note, both Laura and myself need this covering of the grace of God in the ministry of His Word. We need to seek continually after Him to feed the flock of His chosen people. It must be Him and Him alone who is proclaimed and lived before you. And that requires your support, your prayers after all the fullness of God. Just as the people urged Paul and Barnabas, so must the church urge all of its shepherds to feed and to draw continually from the shepherd for the sake of the entire flock. The Apostle Peter reiterates this in 1 Peter 1:10-16. He explains very clearly the plan and purpose of our full entreaty unto God for the sake of His body of believers. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Our perseverance as His church is unto holiness. This is not for our self-indulgence in being able to vaunt ourselves above others and to lay some claim to something special in our own right and standing. God forbid such wickedness in our heart. It is because we are to be so after the things of God and so in tune with Him for His sake alone that we can do nothing else but be the living expression of Jesus Christ. It is Christ in us and the fact of our abiding in Him which brings forth a clearer and clearer expression of Him and His very nature, and that is in truth and in honor unto Him. We are His witnesses, and our lives reflect Him in our every interaction with others on this earth. That is why we cannot compartmentalize Him. We cannot limit Him. And we absolutely cannot be just Sunday Christians. He lives forth from us every moment of every day, no matter where we are. And we are to give ourselves so completely to Him that He is not hindered in any manner in the living expression of Himself in our lives. There is very, very much at stake in our desire to persevere in this process of holiness unto God. There is a tremendous heart of responsibility that is set before us as members of the body of Christ. Hebrews 12:1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. We are to consider Christ, and thereby we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. It is so easy to become discouraged in this life when we pray and pray and pray and don't seem to see anything taking place. We can lose heart when we seem to battle the same sin in our lives and the same earthly natural tendencies day after day after day. And in another vein, it is hard when we're called to suffer for the sake of Christ and we feel like we're a doormat or a punching bag for others' frustrations. It is utter and absolute death to self when we continually get kicked in the teeth for doing what is good and right before God, when we love and we love and we love, and yet it always seems that we receive nothing but hatred and disdain in return for that love. In all these earthly frustrations and crises and abuses, it is so easy for our eyes to fill with tears of self-pity and utter frustration. We consider our lives with all its struggles And we can become dismayed, disheartened, discouraged, and depressed if we do not keep our eyes focused on Christ. If we do not keep our eyes focused on Christ. When our eyes are on us and our circumstances, that's when we're dismayed. When our eyes are on Christ in the midst of all this, we come through it. We endure it. We bear it. Here, in the depth of our despair, is the key answer to the question of the reason and the purpose of life. It's found right here. Do we live our lives after seeking the contentment of this world, or do we live unto the contentment of Jesus Christ? Do we live for ourselves and what we can get, or do we live to give Him glory? We will only and always find disappointment if the purpose of everything is set in this realm. Our reason and purpose for living is only of value as our lives proclaim the glory of Jesus Christ. That is why we have been created, for His glory. As we read repeatedly in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are not to lose heart in our living witness of Jesus Christ. We are to hold on to Him and to live in accordance with His guidance and His direction, in obedience to His Word, through the strength of the Holy Spirit. We are to subjugate our lives in such a manner as to be continually putting sin to death and not growing weary of that act of obedience. And that's exactly what it is. It is an act of obedience. We do so daily as each testing of our faith and our endurance and our determined heart after Christ takes place. We live forth in glorious victory because we know that He is our source and He is our strength and He is our ability to overcome every obstacle of this life for His glory alone. It's not for us. It's not to make us better. It's not so that we benefit. It's for His glory that we live these lives. As we daily die to self, we find that the means of our earthly vindication is not held within the manner in which we are treated in this realm. It is not based on our perception of what is or is not taking place. It is not based on what we think is fair or unfair. It is not in any measure based or focused on our limited perception of life. It is set in the fulfillment of the glory of God, no matter what it cost us in this world. God is very specific as to the fact that we must persevere unto His glory to the very end. Romans 2:3-8. And do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. Each of us is to live our lives unto Him in every aspect and facet. There is no area that we can hold back from Him, not even those little ones that we covet unto ourselves. We belong to Him. We are to live unto Him in wholeness of body, soul, and spirit. This utterness of life is what makes us the partakers of eternal life. It is all set in Christ, and it is knowing Christ, which is eternal life. If we deny Him, if we turn our backs to Him, if we withhold our hearts, even the minutest measure of our heart, we will find that our self-seeking sets a wall between us and the full revelation of Jesus Christ. This attitude effectively hinders our complete enjoyment of His eternal life in our relationship with Him. In this attitude of withdrawal, we are not losing our salvation, heaven forbid, but we are forfeiting our complete joy in Him. We are losing His blessing in our lives. Christ Himself puts this in perspective in another manner, as we see in Revelation 3:10-12. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, in order that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. We dare not allow anyone to take away the crown that Christ has given us. That crown is the glory of God and our part in its establishment in all of creation. Who we are and all that we do is reflected in His glory for His sake. It is our responsibility as Christians as members of the body of Christ and as the sons of God to show forth His glory in our lives on this earth. It is never a matter of what we will receive, but always that which He will receive in all glory and praise and adoration. So be it. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.